I do need to clarify one little thing, because otherwise she'll hear about it and she'll get after me. Susan is my younger sister.
Okay. I made a mistake. Sorry.
And she really is proud of the fact that of the three of us, she's the youngest one. It is a real delight for me to be back in Lincoln at First Baptist Church. It's been a long, long time. It's changed a lot around here. So I'm glad I got here, and I got here early enough to park in front. So now I think I know how to get out of town again so I can go home. Our scripture this morning is one of my favorites for a lot of reasons. It's from Matthew 6, that nice long Sermon on the Mount that Jesus delivered, probably not all at the same time, because when he's got people sitting on the ground, you know, he's going to think about how comfort their level might be at this time. But this particular part has always spoken to me. Starting at verse 25 and going through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food or drink, or what our clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all those things. But strive first, Jesus tells us, for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The word of the Lord for this morning as we gather in his house. I have two sisters. One is older and the other is younger. Judy is the oldest of the three of us, and she tends to be the worrier for the family. She also tended to be the one who would step out, trying new things, going different places, and never thinking that others might be concerned about her. At one point, Judy joined the Peace Corps in its early days and took off for a couple of years of life in Brazil. There was one period of time that she was gone when snail mail, all we had at the time, faltered, and it would take quite a long time for a letter to travel from Judy in Corumbá, Mato Grosso, Brazil, to Omaha, Nebraska. Judy was concerned about her family in Omaha because she wasn't hearing from them, so she didn't know how they were doing. But it never occurred to her that her mail wasn't getting to Omaha, just as mother's mail wasn't getting to Mato Grosso. These were days when not everyone had a cell phone in a pocket. And I'm quite sure that there were many times when getting a decent cell phone signal would have been difficult, if not impossible. Doesn't that sound strange in these days when we call upon our grandchildren to know how to use or fix a cell phone or a computer? Worry is not useful. And there's something deep inside of us that causes almost everyone to worry at some point, regardless of what Jesus told us. Jesus knew people so well that he recognized the need for reassurance. So he shared this thought that we will need to let God take care of our worries. Jesus told them to not worry about their lives. So Israelites, don't worry about your life. And the Israelites might have replied, I'm not saying this is what they did, but they might have replied, well, Jesus, that sounds good, but we're ordinary people and we need to think about our lives. Who else really cares about us? We have lived in bondage in different places for more generations than we want to even think about. We're persecuted because we have decided to follow you. Well, yes, we've been persecuted as people. You have also been persecuted as people have chosen not to believe anything you say. And you aren't welcome in the synagogues. But isn't that somehow different? You have God watching over you, Jesus. You say we aren't to worry about food, but do you really recognize how many of us are living lives where adequate food is not available? Jesus, are you paying any attention to what's going on out here where we live? And of course, the answer is yes. Jesus did know what was going on for his followers. But they would stop listening sometimes before Jesus finished speaking. And the same is true today. I'm sure that you can tell me a lot more about what's going on here in Lincoln. But the part I really know about is in Omaha at my home church, with an average attendance of about 55 each week, our church's food pantry is providing boxes of food for about 280 to 300 families, about 980 people each month of the year. When the county food bank announces that it has nothing available to fulfill the requests from the local church food pantries or other food pantries in the city, the congregation then heads for the grocery stores with a list of sale items in their hands and bring back to the church boxes of cereal, boxes of things like pasta or cans of tuna, whatever might be available, and bring that food to the food pantry to add to all the other supplies. You see, even small numbers can be very generous when our brothers and sisters are in need. God will always provide some with more than enough so that we are able to step out and become generous Christians for all of God's children, whoever and wherever they are. And we see that more and more each day, each month, each year, in this, a land of plenty, when some don't have enough. Jesus also talked to the people how God continues to watch over us and take care of us, just as God does for the birds and the flowers. And you might be wondering, what all does this have to do with this particular weekend when we're remembering those who have gone before us, members of our family, members of the military, some of our ancestors that we've never even heard of before at times? And we take flowers, God's created beauty pieces, to honor those in our families who set our family foundations in place. I remember the memorial days when my mother would pick flowers from her gardens, and we would take them to the cemetery, and she and Daddy would tell stories from their childhoods, stories of ancestors we never knew, but they became known to us through the stories. And we learned stories of those who had helped make us the children of God, a very special one in our family. Now, my younger sister, whom some of you know, has always been more of a peacemaker. She got involved in researching family history at one time, sharing those additional stories with the rest of us. Each of us has been involved in learning more about the family. Who we are has always been important as we have followed God's leading. Being part of God's family is special to each one of us, and that has led us to very different roles in the church and in our lives. Jesus was also telling the people around him that day that we need to remember that we have been created to be the very people we have discovered as we are doing what God wants us to do. At the zoo in Omaha, there is one space that is all enclosed, and about 400 different species of birds live in that area at the zoo. Those birds will face each day with lovely colored feathers. The birds never have to pick out what they're going to wear each day. It's all been done for them. In gardens across the city and in many cities across the country, the flowers are showing off their huge variety of distinct floral sights and their unique scents. When I lived in Rochester, New York many years ago, May was the month everyone wanted to visit the lilacs in one city park. I think there were probably more wedding pictures taken in that park each year than at any other time. And unlike what I grew up thinking, not all lilacs are purple. That was a surprise to me. The ones in our yard were purple. I thought that's what lilacs were. But God knows what we need and what will bless us in so many different ways. Birds and flowers don't need to pick out different colors for each day. They don't need to choose what colors might protect them from predators. God created them to be exactly the way they need to be. They fulfill their purpose without worrying about whether they're doing it the best way. They simply live the life given to them by God. So Jesus was pointing out to the people that there was no need for any of us to worry about things that are not under our control. But I didn't check out at one point as a child what happens to white carnations when you put them in food coloring and make those carnations turn green or blue or any other color that might come along. Natural beauty always seems to be the best, but food coloring might help for different seasons of the year. Then I started thinking about some of the other created things God has put into our lives. Kittens and puppies, giraffes and lions, big things and little things. All those critters that inhabit our world and our neighborhoods, all made by God to do whatever it is they were created to do or to be. It wasn't, however, until I lived in Rochester, New York, with a lot of black walnut trees, that I began to learn a lot more about squirrels. Squirrels appear to be rather scatterbrained. When we got married and I moved from Omaha to Rochester, we moved into my husband's home, and I found that he had a black walnut tree in the backyard. I don't like black walnuts. They're messy, they don't taste good, but besides all of that, I started watching the squirrels as they started playing games with the black walnuts in the backyard. A squirrel would put a black walnut in a flower pot that sat on the end of the steps going down into the backyard. Simple little task. One black walnut possibly planted in that empty flower pot with no dirt. And I don't think it would have grown anything anyway. But the next day, somehow that walnut appeared to have been moved from one flower pot to another on a different step. As the squirrels played a game that I decided had to be a game of hide and seek with a walnut. I also watched as they built large nests in the neighborhood trees, but I was never sure if those squirrels were ever storing walnuts in those nests. Why else would they be collecting them? Made no sense to me. I didn't want to make any cookies out of them, that was sure. It actually seemed like the squirrels were just playing games and not really planning for life in those nests during the cold and snowy winters that we had in Rochester. The squirrels appeared to not be the ones worrying about the future, but they did seem to be happy about their seemingly carefree lives. And then I realized, you know, Scripture never told us anything about squirrels. And I thought, but God created them. He made them exactly the way they are. But they just don't tell us anything of substance about squirrels. What appears to be Jesus' bottom line for today is that we don't need to worry about the little things. That God is going to take care of those for us. No life can be extended even 1 hour by worrying, Jesus tells us. And I really think that sometimes we worry to the point of actually shortening our lives because of ulcers and high blood pressure. And even those hearts that beat within our bodies continuously, day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, as we learned when my sister Susan had to go through heart surgery. Even that organ just keeps on beating. And I thought, God has created so many incredible things that sometimes need help if they're going to keep doing what they're created to do. And that's why we don't need to worry, because God has taken care of it for us. God is making it clear to us that we know we need the little things. We know that God has made them. And He's created other human beings who know how to take care of those little things when they stop working for whatever reason. And we have learned that 6 years after Susan's heart surgery. God made them, and God made the people who can fix them. He even tells us, Jesus did on that hillside that day, that the Gentiles need those little things. Those big things, all those created things. He knows we need food and clothing, please. And God makes all those things possible for us. However, God has something greater in mind for us. The scripture actually tells us that worry shows that we have a distrust of God. If a non-believer worries, it's because those folks don't know God. They don't understand the promises that God has made for us. We know of God. We know the promises are made to love and to care for us. We have no need to worry if the snail mail takes too long to get from Brazil to Nebraska back years ago in the early times of the Peace Corps. Then we arrive at the main thing that Jesus brought to those gathered on the hillside. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring worries of its own, and today's trouble is enough trouble for today. There's an old song that fits this verse, and if I had an old enough book on my shelf with other music books, I might even know it well enough to sing it for you. Fortunately for you, I don't. But the song, and you may know it, and I think it's wonderful. It's one day at a time, sweet Jesus. The words that lead us to a life freed from worries we might want to borrow from tomorrow. I don't remember all the words, but it goes something like this. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today. Show me the way, one day at a time. So my prayer for you today is that you live today. Soak in the blessings for today. Take Jesus' advice to handle the demands of each day as it comes, not worrying about the unknown tomorrow and whatever it might bring, if it ever actually happens. Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, on these your people, pour out your blessings, your strength, your power. Open their eyes to see what you bring to each day. Open their hearts to learn of your glory and help each one find their renewed lives with the dawning of every day. Help us find your peace, your power, your joy, your hope for today. For today is all we need to take care of.